Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for another opportunity to be in your presence today. Thank you for the grace given to us to learn at your feet again. And Lord, we ask that no one returns back the same way today. And Lord, let everyone's life be turned around. Grant everyone an encounter of a lifetime. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic remains the law of knowledge. Last week, we were able to go through the law of knowledge, part 1. And today, it will be the law of knowledge, part 2. And I pray that everyone will indeed return back blessed and transformed in the name of Jesus. Let's get on. Last week, we were able to understand the importance of knowledge. That without knowledge, wisdom is actually far-fetched. Knowledge is the background or the foundation for the good application of wisdom. Because you need to have some knowledge of what to do before you can even do it. Wisdom is just you doing what you're supposed to do at the right time. And knowledge is you knowing what to do at the right time. Praise God. And we were able to see that knowledge is an asset. You can actually bank on knowledge. Because of what you know, you can take some decisions or decide not to take some decisions. For example, if, let's say, an older man who has been in the military for 10 years, gone to different kinds of wars, and another man who has never been to war. Let's say two of them are sitting down and somebody just strikes a banger to make that sound. The younger boy may want to run away thinking it's a bomb or gun. Whereas the military man just smiles and says, that's banger. I know that's not gone. When you hear AK-47, I know the difference. That's knowledge. Somebody else will fear under some circumstances because of the lack of appropriate knowledge. Whereas somebody else will be seated. There's a scripture that we read recently in my family. And the scripture says that because of knowledge, someone is stilled. I'm just saying it's my own English now. That it is not shaken. Is not perplexed because he has good knowledge. Whereas someone else is shaking, is scared, is bothered, is shouting, crying because he lacks the appropriate knowledge he's supposed to have. That is why, you know, some people have bad dreams and they are shaking up and down, calling all the pastors in the world, hey, can you see the dream I had today? Please come and pray for me. Somebody else will have the same dream, but because he has the knowledge of the word of God, because of his class in God, because of the kind of communion he has had with God, he just says nonsense. Somebody else eats in the dream and ends up in the hospital and dies. I know someone that ate in the dream that didn't probably take it serious and ended up dead. Whereas somebody else will see the same thing in the dream and say, nonsense, I cancel in the name of Jesus. And nothing will happen to him. Why? Because they are not operating at the same level of knowledge. That is the knowledge of the word of God. In fact, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The word destroyed in that place means they are stripped of dignity. It doesn't mean that maybe they will die immediately. It could also mean that. But it means they are stripped of dignity. They are stripped of all the kind of honor they are supposed to have. Why? Because they don't have the right knowledge. Praise God. He said, my people. That means it's not that they are not born again. It's not that they are not serving God. But they just lack the knowledge of what they are supposed to know. So the devil is able to just play with their lives and do whatever he likes with them. Why? Because they don't know their right from their wrong. Imagine if Adam and Eve knew that God really loved them. Imagine if they were able to come to the realization of that knowledge. They could have trampled over the serpent instead of the serpent making them drop from their glory. So that's just a quick introduction. Let's read the scriptures again. Proverbs 18:15 says, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. That means if you are prudent, you will begin to acquire knowledge of all the kinds of knowledge you should get. Then if you are wise, it says your ears will seek knowledge. It says the ears of the wise will seek knowledge. You begin to want to find out what you're supposed to know. Now, let's put down this background. There are two parts to knowing God. There's the love of God and there's the principle of God. The love of God is what saves everybody. That's why the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." There's another scripture that says, even when we were with sin, when we were not with the knowledge of God, when we didn't even want to have the knowledge of God, he says God died for us. He loved us so much that he died for us. We didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't even pray that Jesus should come and die for us. God, because of his perfect love, he died for us. Now, there's a second part to that. That second part is the principles of God. That means the love of God, you don't have to do anything about it. But there's another part of God that, because you're a child of God, does not mean you're going to have money. It doesn't mean you're going to be successful. No. If you don't do what you're supposed to do at the right time, you will go to heaven because you are born again, because you are living righteously. But it's not a guarantee that you have money in your pocket if you don't do what God has commanded for you to have success. If you don't do what God has commanded you to do to grow in your spiritual life, you just remain the same. The devil will be molesting the person. Why? Because the person has refused to grow. But it doesn't mean the person wouldn't go to heaven. No. It only means the journey of the person will be rough. It's just like if you are going through the desert. You can go through that same desert with dust all over your body. Dust entering your eyes, entering your nose. And there's also another platform for you to cover yourself, for you to ride a camel. It's another way. You can decide to go to another country or another city while walking on your foot. You will get there eventually. Maybe it will take you months or years. After all, our forefathers, they walked and they were able to get to their destinations. And you can also decide to take a ride. You can decide to take a motorbike. You can decide to take a bicycle. And you can decide to take a chopper from where you are to where you are going. It's not the same experience and it's not the same speed. So that's the same way with God. Knowledge is what differentiates one believer from another believer. Knowledge is also what the Bible calls light. It says, "Let your light so shine." If your light refuses to shine, people will not notice you. Success will be far from that person. But that's not your portion in Jesus' name. So let's quickly run through what we did last week. Last week, we were able to understand what knowledge is. That knowledge is an advantage. And that knowledge is the acquisition of information, of data. It is called information. It is called data. Those are two basic things that we call knowledge. It's also called light. And knowledge is the foundation of wisdom. Then last week, we were able to see that there are types of knowledge you must have. Number one, the knowledge of God, knowledge of yourself, knowledge of others, how to relate with other people, then knowledge of good and evil. Then we were able to see financial knowledge, that without financial education, someone may not know how to multiply the seed that God has given him. Every seed is not for eating. It is for sowing. It is for you to multiply it. So if, for example, you are waiting for money and you are praying, you are asking God to give you opportunities, and somebody gives you an opportunity, maybe he gives you a job you are not expecting, a business you are not expecting, or just gives you money, like, let's say 10,000. You can decide to spend the whole 10,000. You can just go to an eatery and finish the 10,000. In fact, it won't even be enough. And you can decide to say, okay, I will eat with only 500. And the remaining part of this money, I will find a way to multiply it. I will find a way to do a little business with it. People sell water on the streets. They don't need 10,000 to start their business. Meaning that there is something that you can do with that thing that you have been given. There is a seed inside every harvest. That's financial knowledge. There's a way to keep your money. Keeping money lying down in the bank may be safe, but it may not be the wisest thing to do. That means all the money coming to you is not for you to save in the bank, because you may even end up, especially maybe if you come from a nation like Nigeria, your bank may end up eating all the money you put in the bank. It will be reducing every day. So financial knowledge means you have to learn. It won't come to you. It won't even come by prayer and fasting. You have to read. You have to learn from people who have been able to maximize this part of life. Then number six, there's knowledge of skill and business. For you to have good success in life and to make your journey as a child of God smooth and safe and interesting, you need to have good knowledge of a particular skill. The Bible says, "Seest thou a man who is diligent in his business? He will not stand before mere men. He will stand before kings. And he will not only stand, he will sit with them. He will discuss with them. They will put their whole lives in his hands." See Joseph. They put the whole city of Egypt in his hands. He was skilled at dream interpretation. That was his skill. That was his gift. Then your business. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:23, it says, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds." That's moving in the right direction starts from knowing exactly where you are at the moment. Some of us, we run businesses, we don't even know the state of that business. We don't know how much that business is worth. We don't know how much you are making. You are only counting how much is coming. I started a course online, MBA, and I started realizing how many costs in a business you don't even realize are costs. Some of us, because you bought something for 200 and you were able to sell it for 300, you are rejoicing that you made 100 profit. Whereas that's not your profit. What about the time you spent in that business? There's an amount you're supposed to pay yourself. It's your bill. It's not your profit. There is an amount that went into advertising that may cover for a whole year, but you are just counting what came in at the moment. No, you have to learn this. If you don't learn it, you won't know it. That's just what it's saying. It says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Flocks is representing your business. Know where you are per time. Then when you know where you are, when you know how you're doing, whether you're doing fine or not, then you can now project into the future and know where you are supposed to be. Knowledge of your skill and business. Then, knowledge of times and seasons. You must know the difference between times and seasons. There's a difference between time. There's a difference between seasons. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, the sons of Issachar were able to understand the difference in seasons and times. That's paraphrased by me now. God ordained that there are seasons and times so the world will have a balance. There is a season to sell umbrellas. If you are selling umbrella when it's not raining season, you will likely not sell. Most people just go about, enter the sun and not carry umbrella. How many people like carrying the weight of an umbrella? But if it's raining season, when it's raining, then it's time to sell umbrellas, because how many people want to be wet? If you're in a place where it's snowy, then you can sell snow boots. You can sell rain boots. But if that's not happening, it's not the time to sell it. It's just telling you that there are seasons and there are times. There's a season when everybody wants to do a particular business. If, for example, your business is seasonal, what it may mean for you will be that you should have probably more than one business. You can't sit down that business because, okay, if what you are selling is umbrella, that means when rainy season has gone, you are not going to be making money again. That's what it means. That means you're supposed to have a side business. When the other one is not doing fine, then you are doing the other one. In fact, if you look from the scriptures, you will see that God expects us not to just focus in one area of business, but to do different things. You can learn that from the life of Jesus. Jesus was not only using people food to attract people to the kingdom. No, healing, as he was healing, he was performing other forms of miracles. He raised the dead. It's not only dead people he was raising. How many dead people did Jesus raise? Was he raising dead people every day? No, but he raised the dead. He was able to symbolize through that I have power over death and life. He did miracles. I have power over sicknesses. He portrayed that. And he even walked on water. That means I have power in the supernatural. So even you as a child of God, don't just sit in one area. No, you should be able to multitask. If, for example, like me now, I have a background in construction. If, for example, I want to continue in construction, as a construction engineer, you can't be doing construction alone. Why? Because business may not come every day, except when you have become so big and everybody wants to rush you. But when you are still looking for clients, when a big money comes, if your wife likes business, my mom taught me this, say, if you are in construction or doing contracts, then you need to have another business that comes in every day. Like you are selling something, selling provisions, for example. That money can be invested in that aspect, because you may not expect to have construction every day. I'm just using construction for example. So it also plays out in different areas of life. Knowledge of times and seasons. There's a season to do something. There's a season not to do something. Then there's a knowledge of your environment. Now, let me move back to the knowledge of times and seasons. For example, you may want to talk to your boss or to your friend or to your spouse. There's a time to discuss some parts, some things in life. For example, if you're a wife and the main person who brings money to the house is your husband, there's a time to ask, oh, can you buy a car for me? And your husband cannot even afford the house rent. You are not talking about buying a car for you. Then you have just missed it. That's the wrong season, because the season of your family at that moment is a season of saving, of trying to grow your finances. It's not the time for you to be asking for something else that will take finances. That's just to dash into that. So there's a knowledge of times and seasons. Then there's a knowledge of your environment. Don't just stay in a place that you don't know what's happening there. There's a knowledge of environment. Discern between the differences in one environment and another. A government house is not the same way as a park. When I say a park now, like a recreation center. If you go to a recreation center, you can see people jumping up, shouting, dancing, and screaming. If you go to a government house, you want to behave yourself. Else, if you are not even arrested, it will be good. That's how to behave in different environments. You must know it. There's a way to behave in church. Church is not a place to pick your phone and be saying, "Hello, friend. Hey, I'm in church. How are you? I will call you back." No, when you are in service and they are preaching, no. It's not the right environment. So that's what I mean by environment. There is an academic environment. There's a business environment. There's a home environment. When you're at home, it's a different scenario from when you are in another person's home. When you're in your own home, it's not the same way with when you're in someone else's home. Know the difference between all these things, and it will lead to good success. It could mean a difference between you being able to know how to relate with somebody that God has placed in your life as a blessing to you. If, for example, someone that you're supposed to do something free for, you are charging him, you may miss so many opportunities in life. Doing free thing for somebody, you know, you can just see a rich man and he says, "Oh, can you help me do something?" Normally, you charge for it. But you can look at that environment. This person that has come to me, this also knowing the difference in other people. This person that has come to me, if I charge him 10,000 to do what I'm doing now, I may lose the benefit of 1,000,000. So you may decide to do it for him free. When you do something for somebody free, the person feels he owes you. That's what I've realized. If you check your own life too, when somebody is just nice to you, doing everything you want, as a child of God, what comes to mind is, how can I repay this person? How can I be a blessing to this person? That's what comes to mind. So know the difference in environment. Know the difference in people. Then lastly, know your own difference. Knowledge of your own difference makes a lot of difference in your finances. You must know where you are good. For example, yes, it took me several years. It may also take you several years to know what makes you different from other people. And for some people, they just know it quickly. Fine. But whichever way, once you know what makes you unique and different from other people, maximize it. Some people, it is the ability to understand things quickly. Some people have, you know, in school, I think our schooling system is very flawed. Like, for example, they just group everybody together and think because somebody is not getting good grades, then he's not intelligent. No. Somebody may be very intelligent in academics. In mathematics, when you say 2 plus 2, bam, he knows it. 1,000 times 5,000, he just tells you straight up without even thinking much. But take that same person, tell him to come and communicate with people. He doesn't know how to communicate. That means it's not good in that area. But you know that bring 5,000 people, I can talk before them and encourage them. That makes you different from other people. Because you didn't do well in school does not mean that you are not intelligent. But of course, even in school, you will know that there are some courses that I was able to do very well. It could just point you to some things in your life. I know people that are very good when it comes to figures. Anything called figure, they are very good. They don't even... When I was in school, I know a particular guy, anything figure, he knows it. Anything calculation, anything scientific is very good. But tell him to write notes and describe something, he hates it. It's not good. In school, I was very good in describing things, in being able to think. I'm more of an analytical thinker. I'm able to think deep into things. So even because I think so much, I get confused with calculations. Not that I didn't do well in school with calculations. I did very, very well. But I know that's not my place. Because I overthink what the lecturer is thinking. For example, if the lecturer says 2 plus 2 equals to 4, I may begin to say, but if this is this and this, it may not even be equal to 4. So eventually, it takes me more time to even flow. What I started doing later is, when the lecturer says 2 plus, I just cram it and do it for them. Because I found out that I was thinking too much. So I knew my place. When it was exam time, I just go to the same guy that was good with those things. I just say, "Oh, please explain this thing to me." I don't think too much when he's explaining. I just take it the way he says it and I do it in the exam and I pass, because I know that's not my place and I'm not going to do all that all my life. So you too, find out where you are different. Maybe you are able to get to work early every day. Some people will never be able to do it. every day you can wake up at the right time and get to work at the right time and do the same thing every day and not get tired. Trust me, there are people that cannot do the same thing every day. They will be bored. So if you are someone who cannot do the same thing every day, don't go and look for a job where you do the same thing every day. Be able to learn how to know where you are different. So that's one knowledge. So now we are looking at the next part of the teaching, which is the last part today. How to get knowledge. How do I get knowledge? How do I get the right knowledge for the right areas of life? The following are required in order for you to maximize any type of relational knowledge listed above. That's any type of knowledge listed above. You have to relate with God, people, and yourself spiritually. You know, you have to relate with different people. You have to have, you know, academic knowledge, emotional one, financial one. And the earlier you knew how to relate with these different areas of life, the better. So, how do I get knowledge? Number one, get spiritual knowledge. Get spiritual knowledge. And how do you get spiritual knowledge? Through the scriptures. That's the basic way of getting spiritual knowledge. No matter what anyone preaches in life, they will only use human figures of speech. They will only use human similitudes, human proverbs, which will never be perfect. You will always be able to say, but what if this? But when you read the scriptures, you can get accurate spiritual knowledge. Does it mean people will not teach you? No. But it is the basis where you judge everything coming to you spiritually. Spiritual knowledge is gotten from the scriptures and directly from the Holy Spirit. So if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, it may be difficult. When you are reading the Bible, it will be very boring. You won't even be able to interpret anything. So through the scriptures and the Holy Spirit is where you get spiritual knowledge. And of course, there are different areas of getting spiritual knowledge, like a teaching priest. When a teacher of God teaches you, but how do they teach you? They will still use the Bible to teach you, and they will still teach you through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the basic thing is spiritual knowledge. And why must you get spiritual knowledge first? Because through spiritual knowledge, you can filter between good success and bad success. Many people have success in the world, but is their success good? Remember, one of the measures of good success is that it must please God. It must bring glory to God. Then number two, get academic or intellectual education. Some people will say, oh, because I'm going to serve God, because I'm going to be a pastor, or because I'm a child of God, let me just be reading my Bible. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8 that this book of the law must not depart from your mouth because you have good success through it. Yes, the Bible says that. But the Bible never said you must not get academic and intellectual education. No. God says, be wise as serpents. What is that telling you? Know how to relate with people intellectually, because the serpent is very wise. The serpent can hide in a house. The moment people detect the serpent, it can scatter the whole house. People can even run from their own house because of the serpent. The serpent is wise. He knows how to stay in the grass. A brown serpent may not be found in the green grass. You will see a green serpent in the green grass. That's why they call them green snakes. A green snake in the green grass. It will be difficult to see it until it strikes. So God wants you to have intellectual education. Don't say because you are a Christian and when you talk, people are saying, what is wrong with this one? They don't want to listen to you. No, they must know that you are wise. In fact, one of the ways you know a child of God is wisdom. You are wise. When they are talking politics, you can bring your word to politics and say things and people are saying, yes, yes, you are right. If people are talking sports, you can even say one thing or the other. Don't even say, what is soccer, safe? I don't know what soccer is. Like, people are saying, excuse me, soccer, you don't know what soccer is. You don't know that football is the same thing as soccer. You know, people are looking at you like, what's wrong with this one? You must have academic and intellectual education. Go to school. Basic education. Why do you even read the Bible if you cannot even read books? And there are so many words that you will read in the Bible that you need a dictionary for. So it tells you that academic knowledge is even required to have good success in life. Academic. If you have to go to school again to do your master's, MBA, whatever, go. It's never too late because it will make a lot of difference. Intellectual education. You get it through reading books. Don't only read Christian books. Read books that talk about business if you are running a business. If you have a job, read books that talk about, you know, how to do well in a job. There's a book, very good series of books I think, what's it called again? They have the one on management. They have the one on, I think, career. They have the one on love. They have the one on success. Different books. They are not even Christian books, but they are good books. It doesn't mean you shouldn't read them. You should read and see how that people are thinking. Emotional intelligence. You need to learn emotional intelligence. I think I've talked about it before. There is a way to relate with people. There is a way to interpret what someone is going through. Like I said before, somebody may be crying and you think the person is sad, whereas the person is happy. Some people cry when they are happy. Some people cry when they are watching movies. When something just touches them, they start crying. And you say, yeah, sorry. And the person watching you, that, what's wrong with you? I'm crying because I'm watching a movie because something just touched me there. And you are saying sorry. So emotional intelligence is required. You need to study people. You need to pay attention. Pay attention to how animals even relate. Pay attention to how people relate. You get a lot of wisdom and you can be able to interpret. God wants you to be smart. That's what the Bible is saying. Financial education. I think we've touched that. So you need financial education. We mentioned that before. So if you don't know how to manage your money, that you know how to read the Bible does not mean you know how to manage money. You need to learn that one separately. The Bible will give you so many principles of managing money. But how do you even apply those principles? Read other books about money. Some people have been able to manage money and know exactly what to do. For example, I was mentioning that saving money in the bank may not be the wisest thing. The money will even be reduced if you are not careful. But you know how to invest. You know the percentage of your money you invest, the percentage that is for savings, the percentage that is for giving, the percentage that is for different areas of life. Then, lastly, how do we get knowledge? We mentioned spiritual knowledge. Get it spiritually, get it academically and intellectually, get it emotional-wise, emotional intelligence, then financial education. Then, understand that knowledge comes with age. Whatever your age right now, there is something that someone is older will know that you won't know. Now, this caveat, that somebody knows something does not mean it's wise. For example, go and ask anybody who's smoking, who's been smoking for 30 years. What do you think they will tell you? They will advise you, no, don't smoke, oh, don't smoke, don't smoke. I think one of the preachers, Mike Murdoch, he was saying that there was probably one of his uncles that said, see, don't ever smoke in your life. No, I think it's Donald Trump. He said this uncle or maybe older person used to tell him that don't ever smoke. Don't take alcohol. He said, but the person was an alcoholic. The person was addicted. But he was telling him, don't ever take it. Why? This person has knowledge, but he doesn't have wisdom. He has enough knowledge to know. He's knowledgeable. He has so much information because he's been smoking. And he knows it's not good. But why is this not stopping? Because there's a power beyond his power. Because addiction has taken over. He couldn't control it. Now, he's asked that information to tell you that, see, don't even start. Because once you start, you may not be able to stop. You can get knowledge from people, older people. It will help you not to learn from your own experience. You learn from their experience. So it is very good to understand that older people, whether they are born again or not born again, you can get good knowledge from them. Now, your spirit will now filter what you should do with those information or not. The Bible says that day unto day utter speech and night unto night reveals knowledge. It tells you that every day brings one form of knowledge to your life or the other. So if somebody has advanced so much in age, you can learn from them. Praise God. And lastly, I just want to add this. Knowledge of how to achieve good success. I found by experience that it is better to take one step at a time towards a goal or vision than to try to get there speedily. That's knowledge. One of the things I found out. You know, before I just have a vision and I want to get there tomorrow. Then I realized that it doesn't work that way. I tried it several times. It didn't work. So I started doing things one after the other. It may look slow, but eventually it takes me there. If, for example, somebody is walking 10 kilometers by his leg, will he get there? Yes, it is sure. But along the way, he may learn how to get there faster. But at least he started taking one step after the other. Whereas somebody else is sitting down and says, oh no, I want to buy my car to go there first. He may never get there. But somebody who knows I need to get there, he started with a step. He said, okay, I'm going to take this step. Now, it's taking a step. You want to save $1,000,000. And all you have right now is 1,000. Why not start saving 100 naira from that 1,000? It may look stupid, but I'm telling you, you're going to learn a lot from saving. And eventually, you may never need to save a million because you may get a business of 10 million where you can take a million out. But take a step. Knowledge tells you that a step after the other takes you there. Praise God. And this brings us also to the end of the episode. And I hope everyone has been blessed today. Okay, so let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity to learn again at your feet tonight. Thank you for the word you sent to us, and blessed be your name in Jesus' name. Grace to be a blessing to others, and grace to begin to walk in knowledge so that we will not be destroyed, so that we will not be stripped of dignity and honor. Release that grace to us in Jesus' name. Grace to go the extra mile, to read books, to read a Bible on schedule every day, to meet people, to ask for advice, to get financial knowledge, intellectual knowledge. Father, release it afresh to us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let's have a great week and be blessed indeed in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a great week and see you next week while we take another topic. Praise God.
TheGoodSuccess.com